Good morning, church. God is good all the time. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's have a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we could come to you today. Lord, put life in your word, Lord God. Your life is truth. Your word is truth, Lord. I present myself to you today, Lord. Bless the people. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have a very interesting topic this morning, and it's fasting, a life worth fasting, and it's just like what Pastor Butch Diwa said last Sunday. It's a very hard topic, especially for Filipinos, because we love our lechon. We love gather and eat, and it's something that is very close to us when it comes to gathering. We had the opportunity to celebrate Mommy's 80th birthday yesterday. And so when I was eating, I was reminding myself, you're teaching on fasting tomorrow, right? So don't gloat yourself so much with food. I was trying to pull Elder Eric preach on fasting, but he said, no. It's definitely a hard topic, and not to belittle prayer, not to belittle giving. Fasting is a very crucial part of Christian living. And as we live in a entertainment-oriented, pleasure-oriented society, it is really hard to bring particularly God's people into that posture of humility. It says here that between the ages of 20 to 50 years old, the average person spends over 20,000 hours of eating. Could you imagine that? 20,000 hours of eating. And so that orientation of fasting, when you say fasting, it's just in the fog with many believers, with many of those that are called by Christ. But the posture, though, is something that we need to consider. Each and every one of us needs to pay attention to what the Scripture is saying about it. Because we're living in perilous times, and if prayer is important, if the gesture of giving is important, we need to underscore the importance of fasting. 2 Timothy 3 says there, verses 1 and down, but mark this, Jesus said, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And this is our society right now. This is where we are bombarded in our workplace, even in our families, in our units, cousins, and even sons and daughters. They're exposed to this kind of onslaught of our society. And so we are invited to go much deeper with the Lord in terms of our spiritual disciplines. Now, Pastor Butch Diwa really had nailed a very important part of our breaking of the bread last Sunday. And what stayed with me is that this, we are vice regents of God. Do you remember that word? Vice regents of God. Meaning to say, our posture should be always in attention to what God is saying, because His word is final. And so there's this honoring of the word of God in our journey as Christians. And it says there, so is my word shall not return to me void, but will accomplish my desire to achieve the purpose by which I sent it. God's word is above anything and anyone else, anything else. So when we pay attention to His word, then something will happen to us because His Word is life. Now, fasting is not easy. It's not fun. It is painful. One of the most important spiritual disciplines that has been neglected by the church comparing to almsgiving and prayer. No one wants that posture of pain and not having fun in this discipline. Fasting is for the weak. If you feel that you are weak in your spirit and you are tempted, you're easily falling into temptation, and you know that's weakness, that's not a spiritual strength, then hey, have an internal awareness that the Lord is calling you into deeper waters, that the Lord is willing to give you that strength over that weakness. The Lord is also, fasting is also for those that are get discouraged. If you are overwhelmed by discouragement happening in your life, then the Lord is beckoning you to this place of fasting. If you are desperate, if you are confused, if you are fearful of something, then this is a good discipline that you need to consider. If you are a seeker, and we'll be saying, God, who are you? I want to understand who you are. I remember Pastor D preaching over here about simplicity. Do you remember that time that he preached on simplicity? But store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust would not eat your treasures. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you are a seeker, you'd be saying, Lord, what does it really mean to seek your kingdom first? What's that picture like? And so that actually is a seed of the Word of God. Would be saying, God, I am not really seeking your kingdom first. There's a lot of first in my life. You know, I seek my career first, my whatever first. So if you're a seeker, then fasting is for you. Now, John Piper says, Christian fasting at its root is the hunger of a homesickness for God. Are you homesick for God? Or are you falling in that place that you just go to the normal things, you know, here's this food in our front and we pray for it and what have you. Are you truly, truly homesick for God? Another definition over here. Fasting test, this is from Stephen Airy. Fasting tests my resolve to place God above my appetites each time I fast. Like no other discipline, fasting involves all of me, body and soul, in the pursuit of God. All of me. Mark 12:30, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Is your relationship with the Lord in that place that is truly all? Or there's so much things yet inside of you that needs to be removed? Jesus spoke about fasting. In Matthew 9:14-15, it says, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. So when the Lord was taken up into heaven, this is a message for all those that followed Christ. For us. There is an expectation for us into going to these deeper waters. There are three pillars of Christian conduct, which is also tied up with this fasting. And I would like you if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start with verse number 6. And it says here, giving to the needy, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you, your giving may be in secret. Could you help me in this part? Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So this is the first thing that is done in secret, the almsgiving, that is important, that came from the lips of our Savior. The second thing is this, in verse number 5. And when you pray, do not let be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And here we go again. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the second secret. The third one is where we'll be focusing this morning. When you fast, this is in verse number 16, do not look so somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the third secret things that we are doing. And almsgiving and prayer has been underscored so much without putting fasting at the same level, if not more, attention to fasting in the life of a Christian. Because it's painful. It's not popular. It's not something that we do consciously. Now, when I was meditating on this, I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to tell the people? And I felt in my heart and in my spirit, bring them to the time that I have been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And there is something here that is very important that we need to catch. And this is in Luke 4, 1 to 17. It says here, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and where 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, he said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil had finished tempting him, he left him until an opportune time. The answers that the Lord has given Satan during the time of his fasting in the desert is so crucial for each and every one of us. Fasting is an invitation. Fasting is an invitation. It's not under law. We are not under law. Just like prayer, anytime you could go into prayer. Just like almsgiving, you could give alms anytime. Fasting also is in the same level. You could fast if you are desperate for something, if you are fearful, if there's anything that's bugging you and you feel in your spirit that I need to go into fasting. It is an invitation of breaking out of the normal. And we are not familiar with this. The normal is we eat 3 times a day. The normal is when we are thirsty, we drink. That's the normal. Fasting breaks you and me down and brings us to the position of total obedience, dependence, and humility before God Almighty. It's a spirit, it's a physical exercise that has a spiritual implication. If you feel that you are forced into doing this, don't do it. God wants you to do it in a fashion as invited by God to doing it. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was the Holy Ghost that beckoned him, and he said yes to it. So it's something that is open for the body of Christ. If you are a believer, the Lord is inviting you to do so. The second point is, fasting is an act of acknowledging God's lordship. Jesus answered Satan, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You know, the problem that we are in right now, if you were here last Sunday with Pastor Butch Diwa, our problem started with the mouth. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. It started there. And so, man shall not live by bread alone. Our response to God is, I am coming after you, Lord, above my food, above these pleasures, above this so-called bread in my life. I understand you love me, Lord. Even if I don't fast, I am still blessed, but I want you, Lord. You are blessed anyway. I am blessed anyway. And there is this invitation, this acknowledgement of the Lord's lordship in this fashion. Fasting is a token of humbling ourselves before God, expresses dedication to His lordship, expresses reliance to His lordship. It is an expression of those things. I remember when I was doing these things, you know, when you position yourself into fasting, that's the time that your wife would cook the best food there is. And so, and the house smells with this aroma of your favorite kare-kare and, you know, favorite food. And it's just so hard. I remember opening the fridge, you know, just to get water because I'm in that sanctification. And there's this, what do you call that? Leche flan. Just sitting there and staring at me. I was fighting it and saying to the leche flan, no, not today. Not today. Because we are in that position of acknowledging the Lordship of God and saying no to those things and focusing on Him. The third thing about fasting based on the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. Fasting is an act of worship. Jesus answered Satan. He said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Romans 12:1, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. You know, what a better way, what a better place to acknowledge also our worship for God, presenting our bodies before Him. In the book of Numbers, Numbers 11, 4, and 15, we could see here the Israelites, after all the goodness of the Lord to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, they found themselves in the desert, and they were clamoring. They were saying, it's better to be in Egypt. We have our onions there. We have our watermelons there, and their food over there. We have meat over there. But in this place, this desolate place, there's nothing here. And you know what? It's all about the mouth again. And it says here, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. And for us in this time, we were saying, what would manna taste, right? We're so envious of how it would taste. The manna was like a coriander seed and looked like raisins. The people went around gathering it and they ground it in a hand mill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves, and it tastes like something like made with olive oil. Now God got so upset with them. Following the story now, it says here, now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. Wow, they were clamoring for meat, and now the Lord flooded them with meat in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Who was their God? Their God was their tummy. They don't have any appreciation for what the Lord is doing to them. And we could end up with the same thing, brothers and sisters. God should also be the God of your tummy. Point number 4. Fasting is never designed to manipulate God. You don't twist the arm of God. I'm fasting now, Lord. Lord, I want you to do this for me. And you're manipulating, and a person could be manipulating God. Remember the time, and it says there, by the way, the verse that that we would like to highlight over here in the answering of Jesus to Satan. It says there, Jesus answered Satan, it is said, do not put your Lord, the Lord your God, to the test. We don't put God into the test. We don't manipulate him. God is God. We can never earn the favor of God. No one can earn his favor, especially when it comes to salvation. It's not about us. It's all about him. We have what we have. We are what we are because of the grace of God through his blood and by his grace alone. You know, a lot of people grow old never having realized how much God loves them. They dwell in doubting and dreading God. That they don't have this revelation that, you know, it's God is in control. Don't panic, you know. And when we panic, we try to manipulate God in many ways and many areas. But no, no, no. Let God be God. Fasting brings the will of God and life to us because he knows better. Better than what you are praying for or fasting for. That's why not my will, but thy will be done. There is nothing wrong with asking, but the posture of the heart should be thy will. It's a total surrender to God's knowledge and who he is and understanding who his love towards us. Understand that God wants his very best for us. He is not a stingy God. He knows what he is doing. Fasting is an expression that I finally and fully trust God for who he is, not me. I fully and finally surrender my life to you and for your will. In 2 Samuel, we could find here the story about David. And David, of course, succumbed to sin. The Lord was gracious to him, but there was this time that David was fasting and praying for his child. And then after some time that of his fast, he noticed that his servants were talking to one another, whispering, you know, words like in a smaller tone. And then he realized that something is up, right? And then he asked them, is the child still alive? And they said, no, he is gone. So what did David say? Let God be God, right? He rose up, he washed himself, and he cut the fast. That way, brother, he was not manipulating, he was not upset about it. He knows that God loves him regardless of what's going on. And he surrendered to that will. Thy will be done. So, don't demand. Just ask. And leave the results to God. Trust his heart. Now, if you haven't done any fasting before and there's something in your spirit that, hey, I need to, you know, it's hard, particularly in this season because we have all the Christmas season and the birthdays and the, you know, we're talking about fasting over here, that but they're preparing something back there, you know, to eat. And it's a very hard place. It's a determination in your heart that, Lord, I want more of you. And so if you feel in your heart a nagging of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, prepare and determine the fast in your spirit and mind. That, Lord, I'm going to do this because I want more of you. Actually, when you start your fast, you'll be experiencing dry tongue, lightheadedness, brain in the fog, feel tired, headache, irritation. Now, all these emotions are going to flood your spirit. But the result would be spiritual alertness and urgency for God. That nothing, when you are in the presence of God, everything else, particularly food, would just fade away. And you just want to spend time with the Lord and worship Him. And there's this spiritual deafness that it's so hard to remove yourself from the presence of God Almighty. Amen? Amen. Those people that are doing fasting in a wrong way, they of course they have some issues, okay? Their weight is kinda needs attention. When they do it in the physical, they could feel that energy. Right? Amen? You could feel that energy even in the physical. Now, in the spiritual aspect, it's also in the same token, you feel strong physically. But there's also an additional strength in the spirit that you know it is not you anymore, but it's the spirit of the living God inside of you. You have strength. If you're weak and you start to fast, if you are weak, you could feel that strength, you know, against temptation or against things that put itself up against the knowledge of God. And this is the work of the spirit inside of you. This 2016, as we enter 2015 and 2016, there are certain things over here I would like to present to you, you know, for your consideration, for your fasting. Fast that God will bless America. You know, not about me anymore, you know. Sometimes we always go to bless me, my food, and my. You know, we're living in this land. This is where our children are growing. So we'd be saying, and we're living in troubled times, and society has already shifted. This is where your children would be growing up, and their children's children, if the Lord would tarry. This is worth fasting for. That, Lord, I want to fast for America, that America would awake, O Lord God, and that my children, my generation would be blessed. Amen? In the book of Joel, it says there in Joel 2:12, blow the trumpet. In Zion, declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. You could do this individually. We could do this as a congregation, as an assembly, petitioning God that the Lord would bless America. Another place that we could consider for fasting as we enter 2016 is this. Fast for our families. It says here, the enemy is getting our families, our children, our husbands, our wives, and, you know, and all of this, we need to fast for our families, that the Lord will protect our family. Luke 21 says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that they will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on your watch. And pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. I was thinking about this person. I've been saying, "Dear Lord, please bless my kids and their children's children. That they will be able to stand before you, Lord. That they would love you, Lord, and not be drowned by this kind of society." That urgency, actually, if we could just see it, brothers and sisters, would posture us into that endeavor of fasting. I remember my mom saying, you know, a story about my grandfather. And his name is Gregorio. And Gregorio is a good man, but he doesn't know the Lord. And my mom went into that posture of fasting. "Lord, save my dad. Save my dad." And one day my mom was in another island in the Philippines, in Baguio. And my grandfather is in the Iloilo area. And so when mom went into that posture of fasting for her family, for my grandpa got sick. And he was placed in the hospital. And you know what? His roommate was a pastor. And that pastor had this opportunity just to share Christ to my grandpa Gregorio. And that he was able to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And, you know, years have passed. Lolo has died. Lolo Gregorio has died. And mom was able to attend a meeting. And in that meeting, he sat beside this wonderful pastor that shared Christ to my grandpa. And so even though I have not seen my grandfather in this side of God's creation, I will see him in glory. Fasting for your family. Fast for them, that Satan would not get them in this kind of society. Ask for God's will for your family. The third thing that we could consider for fasting as we enter 2015 to 2016 is this. Fast that God will release His divine help. We all want to serve God, right? And sometimes God is getting so sick that we could not function anymore in declaring, not just for the sake of long life, but for the purpose of serving God, that we are healthy. Genesis 15:15 says, "You, Abraham, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age." We want to experience this life, that we will be buried at a good old age. If you live to be 80 years old, that's only 29,200 days. What's 29,200 days? That's important. Because in that days, we have the opportunity to serve God with good health. Amen? So we need to ask God for wisdom to take care of our bodies. Another thing that we could fast for and ask God for is this, that the Lord would allow us to experience the presence of His warring angels. Now, I have met a nurse in the hospital where I work, and she would be saying, "Chaplain, I knew it was the angel of the Lord that has protected me." Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not angels ministering spirits sent to those who would inherit salvation?" It's a question posted. And the answer for that question is yes. A resounding yes. We have ministering spirits that could be dispensed for our protection. So Ephesians 6 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There is the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And as a vice regent, we are entitled and we are invited even to call angels, holy angels, to help us in our journey. And what a better place for each and every one of us, children of God, to face 2016 with this in our hearts, that Lord, it's an intentional entry to the posture of fasting that we may be able to experience God and go deeper with Him. If you feel like 2015 is something that, you know, it has gone and come, it's just come and gone, and you feel like, oh, I'm the same, you know, I am, it's another year, you know, and you know, it's just a normal year. I challenge you for 2016. Lord, I want more of you. Enter 2016 with that anticipation in the posture of fasting, that God may reveal Himself to you and that you will be excited more of Him and for Him. Amen? So again, fasting is not a popular topic, but as your elder here, and the elders, actually, we have discussed this, you know, in our meeting, that, hey, we need to humble ourselves before God as leaders. It starts with the leaders. And we're saying, Lord, we want to be in that posture where we would like to see more of you, more of your glory, Lord, in this church, with our families, Lord, with our friends, Lord, with our co-workers, Lord, that you would bring us, Lord God, to that place of strength, spiritual strength, that we may truly be your children. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that we could do things in secret, giving alms in secret, and this honors you. To pray, Lord God, in secret, this one honors you as well. And be in the posture of fasting to honor you. Lord, it's all about you. May we disappear, O Lord God. Let our appetite, O Lord God, for this world, O Lord God, fade away as we come close to you, Lord, in this posture of fasting. I pray, Father God, as 2015 is wrapping up, that as we enter 2016, O Lord God, may you give us, O Lord God, tap us, Lord, in our spirit and invite us, Lord God, in the place of fasting, that we may be able, Lord God, to glorify you here on earth as it is in heaven. To you be the glory. To you be the honor. To you be the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.